Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed's producing and engineering the show today on the other side of the glass, but Ed welcomes you, along with me, to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, May 7th, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Strong signal for KVOI. You can listen to this radio station pretty much all over southern Arizona, all the way up to Phoenix and all the way to Lordsburg, New Mexico. And so great reach at KVOI. And if you're not in front of a radio, but you're by a computer, you can stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And the podcasts and our show archive is available anytime, anywhere at my website, buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040, and I hope you will join us because it is showdown day here on the Buckmaster Show, and Sean and David always, it enhances the half hour when we spice it up with a few calls as well. Well, prosecutors in Baltimore have filed murder and manslaughter charges against six police officers, three of whom are black and three white. In the case of Freddie Gray, a young black man whose death in police custody sparked the worst rioting in the city of Baltimore since the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. back in 1968. The officers are now out on bail. Now, is what happened in Baltimore the blame of the city's longtime Democratic leadership, as our friend Republican Committeeman for Arizona Bruce Ash contended on this show on Monday? And it is time for the monthly showdown featuring two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. And to the right of me, it's Sean McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. To the left of me is leftist David Morales, creator of the popular Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you, gentlemen?
Outstanding. Excellent, sir.
I feel like the ring announcer at the the Mayweather fight.
Let's get ready to rumble. We'll have a real fight here.
Check your gloves, guys. You know, put those gloves out there. Make sure there's no little things under your gloves that are going to cause any undue harm. What do you think of that contention, David Morales from Bruce Ash, that we can point back to the Democratic leadership in Baltimore for what's to blame for Freddie Gray?
I mean, to understand the history of racism in this country, I mean, you really have to you have to understand the history of the last 40 years, 50 years. You have to understand the last 100 years and so on. And I mean, I think everyone would agree that this nation was founded on a racial structure system. I mean, in the Constitution itself, you know, black people are set aside, women, you know, don't even have rights and stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't. You said on Facebook this week, I believe, that you believe the United States Constitution is a racist document.
Well, what do you call it? When you call you know, blacks three-fifths of a white person, I mean, is that considered not racism? You know, you can be the judge of that yourself. But it also allows for slavery. And I mean, even great heroes in the founder of the Republican Party, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he had a chance to free the slaves right away, and he said, "I will keep slavery if I could keep the South."
Are you saying Lincoln was a racist?
He was one of the worst. For example, what was his job? His job was he was a lawyer for the railroad companies before he became a president. His job was basically to take the lands from the Native Americans so that the railroad companies could expand and take 10% of the West.
You see why I'm a fan of little government, because that's big government, what you described. And I'm going to take us back to
Baltimore. That's also the founder of your party that you guys are so proud of.
Freddie Gray's neighborhood 100 years ago was integrated. They took the blacks and the whites and they moved them into the same neighborhood. And then it became a slum. And after that, in 1968, they rioted. But they did something different in 68 that they didn't do here this time. They quelled the riots quickly. They went in with tactical riot police, and they stopped it. This time they let it go because the Democratic leadership of that town, the black mayor, female, said, let's give them space to riot and express themselves. That's not what they should have done. They should have went in with a tactical riot team, and they should have done the basically orchestrated
quelled it right away.
Ooh, they should have done the orchestrated marching band-like precision riot control and stopped it instantly. But they didn't. They let it go on and on because of liberal policies that said, oh, no, let them express themselves. They have to have their feelings heard. I'm sorry. This was nothing more than an open-air prison riot because everybody that you have in the black, overcrowded, underpaid, underjobbed, you have free housing, free cell phone, free education for these people, and free food. That's nothing more than an open-air prison. We had an open-air prison riot, and we let them riot.
Wow, open-air prison riot.
It is.
Well, most of what you're saying isn't true.
I can back it up right here with the documentation.
Well, please do, because not everyone just gets free stuff like you guys think they do.
86% of the community is fatherless. Mm-hmm. 92% of the community has more than two children, they collect everything.
What do you mean
they collect their free cell phone?
What do you mean by fatherless?
They don't have fathers interactive in their life.
They're not
in their
married.
Lives. No.
There's a huge difference.
Fathers are not an integral part of their
They've
lives.
They've done studies on this.
And then you have people rioting in the streets because they have no father figure and no respect. We've talked about this several times. 86%
you're
do
just,
not have a
David,
father.
You're saying that these are just not married.
They've done studies where, like, just because they're not...
Baltimore, Freddie Gray's neighborhood. Married. They polled the neighborhood. They went through it right afterwards and they looked at it and it's 86% do not have a father figure in their life. They get no support, no daily contact, nothing.
David.
Basically, you got a sperm donor who left.
David.
You got to look at this, at the history of what's happened, you know, in the last 40, 50 years. I mean, you had, you know, for example, the Interstate Highway Act, which just came in and demolished the inner urban areas.
Baltimore.
Yes, they did. And they gave people no place to go. And, you know, you just think that, oh, we destroyed
whole democratically controlled neighborhood. It's a democratically controlled city. All six members of the city council and the mayor are all Democrats. They have done nothing but hamper these folks. They have not given them economic opportunity. They have not given them way out of the ghetto. All they've done is says, here, live and swallow. If you look at the political article, it says that they live in overcrowded, rundown apartments in neighborhoods where zoning and housing ordinances are barely enforced. Who's that on? That's on your liberal city council. It's the only difference between Baltimore and Tucson is the fact that our Section 8 housing is spread out.
All right.
If we had a ghetto built like that, we'd have a riot here too.
Okay, it's David's turn.
Well, I mean, one of the big differences between me and you is I don't really see this as Republican or Democrat issue. I mean, I think
it's a fact.
It's a racism issue, and sometimes Democrats are the
whole city council is practically black. Cops are black. The guy that died was black.
Okay, Sean, let David.
That doesn't David mean that like for I think you know Clarence Thomas. You know, these are people who they're black, but that doesn't mean that they're advocates for the black community. To get into these positions of power, like if you're a black policeman or Latino border patrolman, you have to kind of sell out in some sense to prove yourself that, you know, you're not one of these, like, you think about when Barack Obama became president, you guys were saying, oh, he's going to institute white slavery, and there's all these fears and racist fears only when black people get in charge. And so these people, they are continuing a system that created these slums.
Okay. That's absurd. Guys, I don't care who's in charge.
Guys, we've got a couple of calls that want to join in on this. Vince, go ahead. Vince, you're on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Vince.
Good afternoon, folks.
How you doing?
I'm all right until David's constitution is racist remark. That kind of ran me into a ditch almost. Hey, David, can you name another country that voluntarily gave up slavery and had 650,000 dead soldiers, most of whom weren't slave owners when they did it? I can't think of one offhand.
What's that got to do with the United States Constitution being racist?
What's that got to do is that you call names, you call people racist. Your race card is tedious, man.
What do you
people
call...
wise to it now.
Okay, is it racist to consider black people three-fifths of a white person? Is that racist or not? Is it or no?
We have a black president now. Why don't you live in the present, dude?
Hey, but you never answered the question. I said the Constitution itself said that. Is that racist or not?
Yeah, that's the only thing in the Constitution, right?
And it allowed for slavery, didn't it?
Yeah, and
is that racist or not?
Weren't there black people on the cell phone in Africa selling other black people into slavery? I mean, come on, dude.
You're right, but it doesn't mean that the Constitution was not racist.
Okay. Matthew, let's go to Matthew. You are up on the Buckmaster Show on the live line. It's the showdown. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I think you just ought to call the show All in the Family. And I think you basically got Archie Bunker and Meathead. but honestly, the original All in the Family, I think Archie and Meathead were more... reasonable than these two. They're so far, even further than them. They're taking, you know, David's, you know, I think Vince is right. David is just, you know, way out there.
Can you give an example, please?
David,
to
equate Abraham Lincoln to racism.
Did he allow slavery when he became president?
It doesn't help the conversation.
Did he? Was that a fact or not?
And I'm moving on beyond David.
Okay. All right.
John.
Facts are facts.
All right. John is not helping the conversation because he is way beyond Archie Bunker, and he's always one step away from really putting his foot in the mouth when he talks about race. You guys need to tone it down and tell me that once you guys could find something common to agree on. And maybe hug each other before you start.
Well, they always hug they hug each other before they start. They're actually pretty good friends.
Well, they may be good friends, but they're doing a disservice to the community when they allow themselves to go so far to their corners.
All right.
And I'm just saying it doesn't help the conversation. We're all ginned up and Baltimore doesn't need that. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Well,
going off that comment, I think what you're saying is interesting because what's happened is the dialogue and the history books and everything in this country have been so filtered and so whitewashed, literally, that we don't talk about the dark truths about our history. We don't talk about what does it mean for a founding father who writes the Constitution to have slaves and to be having children with their slaves. What does it mean for, you know, the segregation? What does it mean for all these things to take place? And we don't want to talk about it today. Like, for example, you know, two callers already did not want to talk about these issues. Just want to say, let's move on. Let's forget about it. Let's pretend it never happened. But it did happen, and it has influences to today. When racism, supposedly, you know, institutional racism ended in 1964, it didn't just end overnight. I mean, you started this charter school, you know, a system which is basically segregated schools today, but you don't have to call it segregated schools. You had, you know, instead of de facto, though, you have de jure segregation. You had, you know, banks not willing to loan to certain peoples. You have schools that are not equal, okay, even in TUSD.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our monthly showdown, and we're talking about race. I don't know of any other radio show, do you, Sean or David, that does this once a month?
No, sir. Nope.
So
thank you for having us.
I mean, it's out there, folks. If you want to call in, and if you don't like what you're hearing, well, let the guys know. We'll be right back.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Thursday, the showdown, the monthly showdown, always on a Thursday, and it always features Sean McCluskey and David Morales, and I know people think that you two aren't friends, but you are friends, and you always walk out of here as friends, and you walk in as friends, but you disagree on a lot of things. Did I characterize that properly?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Charles. I believe it's Mr. Charles Heller, a Sunday radio personality here on KVOI. Hi, Charles.
Or lack thereof of personality, anyway. but I thank you. Another $5 in the inbox.
Thank you. I'll be looking for it.
David, there's two problems with what you propose. Number one, this is very similar to the mendacity you engaged in about the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo on Bill's show, which didn't say what you claimed it did, and the Constitution doesn't say what you claim it does. The Constitution does not say that blacks are 3/5 of a person. It says for purposes of representation, for proportional representation, they will be counted as. But it doesn't say they're 3/5 of a person.
They're counted as what?
As 3/5 of a person. But
that's what it says. You just quoted it. Word for word.
It says for purposes of apportionment of congressional representation, they shall be counted as. It doesn't say that they are. And that's the problem, is you bend the truth.
So they only count as 3/5 of a person, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Okay, that's the problem right there.
No, the problem, sir, is your fealty for the truth. You claim something the Constitution does not say. It's for purposes of representation, of a portion.
Okay, so they get 3/5 the representation as a white person does. Is that better?
Problem number one. Problem number two is you said, did Lincoln allow slavery? No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
Number one, he had no authority to change. He had no legislative authority to change slavery. Now, I realize you're in favor of presidents who operate without legislative authority because you support the current...
What do you call the Emancipation Proclamation?
But the... What?
What was the Emancipation Proclamation? Wasn't that an executive action?
It was an executive action.
Okay, he could have ended it earlier.
That had no force of law except as a military directive in the South, number one. And number two is Lincoln sponsored a war that had the effect of ending slavery. So you cannot, if you're honest, and I don't know if there's any evidence that you are, but if you're honest, you can't say that Lincoln allowed slavery.
The purpose of the war was not to end slavery. The purpose of the war was to keep the South in the Union.
All right.
But it had the effect.
Right. You said right.
But it had the effect.
Okay, but that wasn't the purpose.
So you asked, did he allow it? No, the actions he took did not allow it.
All right,
so
Charles.
By the way, that's an excellent question that you asked.
Okay, thank you, Charles. Thomas is up next on the live line, 790-2040. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yes, I heard something last year that went into more detail about that ratio, 3/5, and the strong things are always in the details. It said that some of the founders, it's actually representing an upward trend. They knew they could not get rid of slavery right then. There were a number of those founders who were totally against it. It was already entrenched, and that
who was against it?
That
Thomas Jefferson?
Because
he owned slaves, right?
Well, he was a very complex guy. I think he was one of the people who tried to get more African American positive content into the documents. And so the thing I saw was that the 3/5 was actually, you know, the hardliners wanted zero. They wanted blacks counting for zero. And so it was
a concession. You're saying
the compromise.
It was a compromise.
It was a compromise in the right direction. One important thing.
Real quickly, Thomas, please.
It's very easy and cowardly to look back at the times hundreds of years ago without considering the whole context. So there was a number of the founders that really wanted to get rid of slavery. They did the best they could at the time.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
All while owning slaves themselves.
Okay, but Thomas makes a point there, Sean, that you have to really look at some of this history in the context of the time.
Yeah, you do, and you need to look at modern history, too, because it's nothing more than modern-day slavery if you take a group of people who happen to be predominantly black and you keep them in the slums and you don't give them the economic opportunity to get out of there. And if you look at Baltimore and you look at the city of Tucson and you look at the last 20 years of Democratic control in both cities, they have done nothing for their socioeconomic class.
There's
struggling.
A parallel between
Absolutely.
Tucson and Baltimore.
Absolutely. The only thing that we lack is we lack a concentrated ghetto here in Tucson. Hmm. You have Section 8 housing that's separated and spread out all over the town. You don't have everybody living in squalor in one area like they do there. And you also have, well, in Baltimore, you have leadership who does nothing. In Tucson, you have leadership that does nothing.
All right. James is up next. James called us at 790-2040. James, what's on your mind?
Well, the other caller got most of my point there about how abolitionists wanted slaves to be counted as zero, and slave owners wanted their slave to be counted as a whole person for apportionment. So that was important to remember. So those who are against slavery wanted slaves for apportionment not to be counted at all. So that 3/5 compromise is really a specious argument the way it's brought up.
Okay.
The other point is there's plenty of forefathers who never owned slaves, like John Adams, the second president of the United States. Read his biography, strong, strong anti-slavery guy. Benjamin Franklin, he owned one slave, I believe. Very strong abolitionist. Did not want it, you know, if he could, he would have outlawed it. There's other things like in the Constitution, you know, their property is never mentioned because slaves were property. Although they wanted to protect property, they wouldn't use that term because that would come into play with slavery, very complex problem during the editing process.
Okay.
You know, I just want to mention how our history is taught in this country. At the U of A, the history class I had, the standard way of lying is lies of omission. I think our history from top to bottom who teach that in this country is so bad and horrible, especially when it goes back to the 18th century.
Okay.
And just it's so biased with a left-wing tilt. It's crazy. Once I got out of the U of A, I read there was so much that was taught was incorrect and highly, highly biased.
All right. Thank you, James.
See, what I think, I see it different. I see history taught in this nation with a white person's
From a
bias.
White perspective?
Because, you know, the first 100 years you're reading about the Constitution, you're reading about this and that, but you're never reading about, oh, someone's a slave today. Millions of people are slaves. They're getting whipped. They have no rights. They're not doing anything. And then the next, then we did this, and then this law passed and stuff. But guess what? They're still slaves. They're still slaves. They're still slaves. And we don't live the lives that they live. We only live the lives of the dominant class, the politicians and the rulers. And then, you know, when segregation came, we don't live those lives. We don't tell those stories. We don't, you know, we know all about John Adams and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
But slavery hasn't ended. Slavery hasn't changed. Because right now in Baltimore,
you know where slavery exists?
In Baltimore you have people living in squalor, living in rundown, overcrowded, open-air prisons. How is that not on black hate crime? You have a black mayor and black city council who are not providing for their citizens. How is that not a crime?
It's hard to fix, you know, 200 years of racism.
No. This is last 30 years black-on-black crime, if you would, or not subserving to your constituents. How can you—and same thing here in Tucson. You've got a Hispanic City Council, Hispanic Board of Supervisors that do squat for their constituents. But yet everybody sits back and does nothing about it. And we have to listen to this crap that everybody's racist. I mean, Black Pride's okay. Asian Pride's okay. But if you're in Mexican Pride's okay, or Hispanic Pride. But if you're white and prideful, you're a racist.
Okay, Sean, it depends what let's give David the final word there.
Well, where do I start? One of the biggest institutions of race of slavery today is actually the incarceration, the mass incarceration of Black people and a bunch of Latino people who are now forced to work for pennies on a dollar, enslaved in chains. I mean, this is the something that's continued on. You know, you have segregation that's continued on, and when you talk about you're forgetting like all the other cities in the country, like in the South that are run by Republicans that are governors. You're forgetting that this state,
cities like Baltimore, Harlem, Newark, Louisville, Detroit, right. Chicago, all Democrat.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much, Sean McCluskey, David Morales, the Monthly Showdown, very spirited as usual, but these two gentlemen will walk away here as friends. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. Now we're going to resume our monthly interview series presented by our friends at Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators who call Pima's six community campuses home. Today we're going to hear from Tom Hinman. Tom is the manager and has been since 2010 of the very highly regarded Pima Aviation Technology Program. Tom has spent nearly 40 years in the aviation business. Also with us, one of Tom's students, Scott LeGrand, is with us. Scott has been in the Pima Aviation Program since last August. He is a private pilot, and he's also an aircraft mechanic. Scott recently left the Army, where he was serving overseas, had a couple of tours overseas, as he had a helicopter career, and he's now considering a career in civilian life with unmanned aerial vehicles. Is that right, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Thank you both for joining us, Tom and Scott.
Thank you.
This is a very successful program. This is one of the program that has been around a while, Tom. What exactly do you offer in the way of aviation programs within this technology program?
Well, we have, I think at once, those students are learning. People ask me all the time, what are we doing over there? And I think the best answer for that is, at once, we're the last of the craftsmen. We're doing training and giving an education that is almost non-extant in the U.S. these days. And at the same time, these are the technicians of tomorrow. And our programs are just a means of meeting that. What we've done is design aviation education around what the licensure elements, what the government requires, and what we think and understand that our business partners in the community need.
How many students are you serving, and how many thousands have come through the program, I assume?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
But on an annual basis, you're
serving. We're about 150 students a year.
Is it a competitive program to get into?
Oddly enough, we do have a slight waiting list almost every year. And I think that the pull for the program is that so many students do so well. They work with their hands at least half of the time that they're with us. And the employers find them very impactful. So not only do they get, I think, what they feel is good education, but the employers feel like they get somebody that is past the wow factor when they walk into the workplace.
And, Scott, what attracted you to the program?
Well, I think it's really just the diversity and the hands-on approach to learning. It's not just reading a book and then taking a test, getting a license, and trying to go out and work.
You're actually taking apart aircraft and working on them,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Taking apart aircraft, fabricating components, fixing components, and it just goes on from there. I mean, I think it's really beneficial to folks that are new to the industry, or even people coming out of the military and have previous experience. It just really enhances your current abilities, or if you're learning a brand new ability.
Did you always want to work kind of with your hands?
I think that kind of came natural, yes. Ever since I was little, I've worked on, dirt bikes, boats, and that sort of thing. So, yeah, aviation just kind of fell in my lap, really.
Tom Hinman, the career for an aviation mechanic is very bright. There's a shortage, isn't there?
There is. The Boeing prints a report yearly called the Boeing Outlook, and it forecasts over the next 15, 20 years the need for both pilots and maintenance technicians. And right now, I think worldwide, they're forecasting the shortage of about 1 million people. Half of that will be pilots, and half of that is technicians. A great deal of it in the Pacific Rim, although the U.S.-Canada cut of that is still significant. It's about 100,000 technicians in the U.S., and there's so few schools and even fewer that do the work that we do.
And the salaries are terrific.
They are. I was just talking to the
Scott's over here chuckling. That's what awaits you, Scott LeGrand. That's what awaits you, my friend. You're gonna make some big bucks, but you like to work with your hands anyway. You're gonna be in dreamland. Go ahead, Tom.
I almost hate to interrupt him. We had General Dynamics in last week or the week before. Scott, did you sit with those guys?
Yes, I did.
And do you recall what it was they were saying a second-year employee was likely to make with him?
He didn't get into specifics as far as figures, but I mean, it can definitely get into the six-figure range, especially if you deploy overseas.
Yeah, the chancellor heard that and was making quips that he went to school for years and years and years to get into the market, and had he realized a program like this existed, he'd have done it in two rather than in six or eight.
And it's not just the airlines; it's private aviation too. I mean, everybody. Yes. If it flies, it's got to have somebody to fix it, right?
Oh, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the my wife, we were in a museum in L.A., and she wanted to go see a hutch. And so she drugged me into the next room to look at this thing people used to put their plates and silverware on 200 years ago, 300 years ago. And she kept saying the name Chippendale. And I thought that was a different kind of thing that she would want to see. But at any rate, she was looking at this hutch and telling me how cool it was. And when I went and looked, it was clear that the guys that had made this thing 300 years ago put themselves into it. And that's much like what we're trying to do today. I mean, they didn't go to the store and buy a piece of wood to build this thing out of. They decided which tree they were going to cut down and how they were going to shape the planks. And from the foot at the bottom to the finial at the top, they put themselves in it. They put their name on it. And that's the kind of stuff I think our grandfathers would recognize. And in many cases, those skills that stand behind the work that you do, put your name on it, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, be proud, some of the attitudes that go along with the many skills that we're doing. It's really a neat place.
I was just going to say, Scott LeGrand, what has the experience been with your fellow students? You're a veteran. You spent 6 years in the Army. This sounds like it is a very veteran-friendly community for folks like yourself.
Well, it absolutely is. One thing with the PEMA program, being that it's not really advertised, so there's very few veterans at PEMA. Not enough. Anyways.
And I think they would like more. Yeah,
yeah, no, would. Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, because certain flight schools I've been through, it's literally been 80% veterans. Yeah, so yeah. I think that's what Tom
Well, you can be the poster child to spread
right.
the word.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, when you actually get certified, I mean, what kind of a process are we talking about, Tom? From when the student enters the program, how many months or years is it before they have gone and gotten the certification they need to actually be hired?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. The federal government reserves the right to even determine who gets to test for these licenses, this licensure
really?
Program. Yes, it's not like a driver's license at all. And there are two ways to get through their sniff test. One, you work for years in the field, much like Scott has done, or you attend a school like mine. We have three different programs, the licensure program, and then we have some specialist programs where they've taken one of the 50-some elements of the licensure program and really expanded on it. Structural repair, like BDR, Scott, battle damage repair.
Yes, sir.
And in the old days, they used to show people how to fix holes in airplanes. Certainly an airplane, if it hits a bird, bird will make a hole. So we specialize that. We're the only people in the United States that we know of that are teaching that highly specialized set of skills, highly sought after, very well paid for. And then our other specialist program is avionics, aviation electronics, I think, which is Scott's. It takes about 2 years-ish, 19 months to 25 months, depending on which program that you're in.
And a student invests anywhere from, I understand, about $15,000 to $20,000 of the program, but the payoffs are big time, as we were talking about with the salaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not for free. You actually have to do the work and learn the things that are subject matter experts. These are all people that work in the field are trying to share with the students. But the pay is they get well paid for it, and it doesn't take them a long time to recoup.
How's your program doing as far as expansion, Tom Hinman? You've been out at the airport, and now the airport, the Tucson Airport Authority loves having you all out there, and they're trying to make it good for you.
Yeah, I'm sort of the money management materials, machines, marketing. So expansion is directly related to my function.
But you are expanding, bottom line.
Yes, we've been fortunate enough to get another 2.5-3 acres adjacent to us. The airport's willing to work with us to get, and that's about a 30% increase in footprint. We work on large commercial jet transports for at least half the curriculum, so that's a needed, very necessary portion in addition to the facility.
Okay, guys, put your headset on because I want you to hear from a friend of the show. Jim Kelly has a question or comment for Tom Hinman and Scott LeGrand. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. And Scott, thank you for your service.
Thank you for the acknowledgement.
Yeah, I just got to tell you the importance of an aircraft mechanic that knows what he's doing. We had an entire fleet of aircraft that were grounded for fuel line issues that nobody could figure out, not even the manufacturer. Went on for years, and it was finally the mechanics that figured out that the pot metal rivets on the stainless steel fuel line were rusting and causing the clogs. So, you know, keep at it, guys, and I'm very proud to have your program in Pima County. Very glad that you're teaching it.
Bless your heart.
Thank you very much.
Very important.
Thank you, Jim. And, of course, thank you, Jim Kelly, for your service. Jim, a long-time service of the United States Navy.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. And we're going to wrap this up, Scott. And I will echo what Jim says. Thank you very much for your service. And I think you got a real bright future ahead of you.
Well, thank you very much.
And, Tom, the program continues to grow. And so far, just onward and upward, right? And if students want to get involved, what's the best way?
Well, we have an orientation first Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
To get assigned to an aviation program, you have to attend an orientation. It takes about 2 hours, 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Can I give you a phone number?
Sure, please.
The phone number to get us and get all of the details would be 206-5910. That's 206-5910.
Okay, terrific. And people can find out more about the program and Pima Community College, also the website, which is pima.edu. Thank you very much. Tom Hinman from the Pima Aviation Technology Program and Scott LeGrand, one of the star pupils that Tom brought along. And Tom and Scott, I want to wish you both the best. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you much.
All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with the leader of the RTA and the Pima Association of Governments. Our Friday roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Jim Ninsel of the Tucson Weekly. It's Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Take a left at Lordsburg and then head up northeast to the great mile high, actually a little more than mile high, nearly 6,000 foot elevation of Silver City, and that makes it really nice this time of year. Silver City Blues and Bike Festival's coming up. 20th year celebration for this free Silver City event. Taj Mahal will be the headliner. That's over the Memorial Day weekend. You can find out about the many places to stay and many things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. Let's welcome now from the Benson City Council. There are seven members of the council, and one of those members is with us today, Chris Moncada. Chris, how are you?
Doing good, Bill. Nice to finally be in here and get to meet you in person and sit in the studio.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. Chris has been a friend of our show for a long time. He's one of our Facebook friends at the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page, and I wanted him to come in and tell our listeners about this big development. I mean, it's huge that's planned. 28,000 home development, which could hold 70,000 people and make Benson really probably the largest city, certainly in Cochise County. Why is this a good deal? And I know you and your colleagues voted 6-1 to give this thing the preliminary green light. Why is this a good deal, Chris?
Well, Bill, I think that's a good question. I think it's a good deal for the city of Benson and the state of Arizona in general, because growth is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We can plan for it, or we can not plan for it, but it's going to happen one way or another. The good thing about this community is that it is planned. They take everything, every wash, every hilltop, and they incorporate that into the overall plan for the community with walking trails, open space, uses for the community, not only the people that live there, but all of the Benson and anybody in the surrounding area.
And is it thought of not as just a, would it be like a mix of people, working people, maybe wanting to commute to Tucson, retired people? What are they thinking of?
So what they're thinking is that their market is North America. They think that they can sell to this community to just about anybody. They think it will be a mix of active adult community and also family community. And the market will kind of dictate that. But that's what they're thinking it will be. I think it'll be a mixture of people that will live in Benson, but commute to Sierra Vista, commute to Tucson, and eventually, with the addition of the homes, we'll have more industry in Benson, which people can work in Benson and live in Benson.
Well, the big knock on this thing has been the threat to the area's water supply, the fragile San Pedro River. What do you say to those people that are worried about that?
Well, I think that, again, you know, we are desert people, so water is always a concern. You know, as a elected official, it's always a concern of ours. This has been in the works since 1993 when it was annexed into the city of Benson. And the development agreement was back in 1993. And in 2005, the Arizona Department of Water Resources issued their water permit. The city of Benson is allotted 13,400 acre feet of water a year. The villages of Ignito is authorized about 9,800 of that acre feet a year, but they plan on using about 6,000, a little bit more than 6,000 acre feet. And they're going to accomplish that with recharge, low flow water, you know, efficient resources and appliances and things like that. But, you know, the water is a constant issue. It's kind of complicated, as water issues usually are. Mm-hmm. But we're confident that this is not going to affect the San Pedro River, and this will actually benefit the Karchner Caverns in the future.
Let's go to the live line. We have Dave would like to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. Yeah. They base it on the sustainability that they're going to draw from the aquifer is 1,000 feet down. But the problem with that is aquifers that deep aren't being recharged. It's a finite supply. When that gets exhausted, they'll have to draw upon the aquifer that serves Benson and the surrounding ranches. It'll create a massive cone of depression. 70,000 people, that's going to use a lot of water.
All right, thanks, Dave. Let's hear what Councilman Chris Moncada has to say to that. Folks are concerned, Chris, about water.
Of course, and like I said, you know, we are concerned about water, and the aquifer, I think, does get recharged. I understand what your caller is saying, that the aquifer is old. It's a lot deeper than what you traditionally see, but according to the Arizona Department of Water Resources, they have the sustainability for 100 years. And once they kind of get that permit, the city's kind of stuck to accepting the department's permit. You know, that's what the state is there for. That's what this department's there for, is to assure that there is going to be adequate water for development of this size. And I just want to remind people, this was originally planned back in 93 and approved with the state and the city that for 60,000 homes. And so 28,000 homes still will give the city the growth and the development that it needs, but being responsible and using less water.
How will this change your community?
Well, it's...
Other than the obvious that there'll be a lot of people.
Yeah, the obvious part is that we're at 5,100 people right now, right, and we will be 75,000 plus. And this is a 20-year plus project. Mm-hmm. The market will dictate how fast this community is built out. And, you know, it's population is an important part of any city's, I guess, influence, their budget, their the state allocates money based on population to each city. That's an important part. Benson is kind of the hub of Cochise County. This would not only make us the hub, but the largest, probably one of the largest cities in Cochise County, if not the largest city in Cochise County. Service is pretty close to, you know, that population. So it is a big deal for Benson, and it is a good thing.
And I think Benson's got a lot going for it. Your elevation's a little bit higher than Tucson. I think you're about 4,500 foot elevation, something like that.
You know, I think that's right. You got me off guard there.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because summertime, it's not going to be as hot over in Benson, and it is a beautiful area. It's right by the Karchner Caverns. So I could see how this would be a very attractive place for folks to live in this development.
Absolutely. We have very low
crime. I'm not
crime.
Advocating for it one way or another, because I know there are still some issues that have to be settled with water. I think there's some more reports. The U.S. Geological Survey's got a report that's going to come out, right, Chris, about this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to come out, but that is... But I do know that there is a report still due from the U.S. Geological Society.
So I think it's safe to say that you and your colleagues, with your vote, have said, you know, you didn't put up a red light. You've given this a green light for further study. Is that a safe way to put it?
Absolutely. What this is basically saying is that this is something that the city wants, mm-hmm, and to move ahead with their plans. There are a lot of processes that they still have to do with the city. That will come up, you know, in the next coming months and years. We expect towards the end of this year that we will see infrastructure starting to be put in, and we see rooftops probably in the middle to the end of next year.
And what kind of would this be in the prices for these homes? Did they give you any idea what they'd be selling for?
No, they haven't decided yet on prices or designs. Mm-hmm. They have a general design with the Tuscany feel from, mm-hmm, Italy. Mm-hmm. That's the general idea of what the architecture will look like. But the prices and the sizes haven't completely been finalized yet. And I think that'll be a kind of what the market dictates.
Okay, Chris Moncada, thank you very much. Chris, the councilman from the city of Benson. Appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you very much, Bill.
If you're looking for a great auto mechanic, and everybody should be looking for one, and hopefully they have found one. Well, if you haven't found one, I've got a great idea for you. Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works, they can take care of all of your foreign and domestic automobiles. They have a very convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway. They're at 1046 North North Beverly, 323-8650. And you can find them at perfectionautoworks.com. And they really will take very good care of you. And I should have mentioned Chris Moncada does great work. For a time, he was advertising on my show. Tell him quickly about your business.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Moncada Construction.
Moncada Construction,
yep.
390-2247. We do painting and drywall.
Painting and drywall, and they do a terrific job. Highly recommend Chris. And if anybody wants that number, they can get it through me or the website. But appreciate it. Great to see you, Chris, and thanks for your support over the years of what we do. Coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. I'll be back with you at 12:04 for the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.